And after the break, we'll continue with some of the students. So our next speaker from Texas A&M, Roy Davis, his title is A Robust Metric for the Environmental Quantification of Fusarium Oxysporum, Forma Specialis, Vest and Infectum, Race 4.
Good afternoon, everyone. Like you said, my name is Roy Davis. I am a third-year PhD candidate at Texas A&M in the Department of Plant Pathology and Microbiology, working with Dr. Thomas Chappell. And again, we're talking about Fusarium oxysporum, Forma specialis vast infectum, race 4. And as we saw in the previous presentation, it is a soil-borne fungal pathogen of cotton causal agent of Fusarium wilt. Race 4 does not require the co-infection of the root knot nematode to infect. But I want to talk a little bit about what my dissertation research is. And it's looking at the spatiotemporal dynamics of inoculum. And I'm using Fusarium wilt as a way to actually, as a model system, I guess, for this pathogen. And what we're doing is we're modeling the movement of inoculum through space and time. Specifically, there's two objectives that I have for this research. The first of which is to develop an assay to quantify inoculum in environmental samples. And the second objective is to model the movement of inoculum. Now, with modeling inoculum dynamics, there's some key things that we have to remember, that we have to make sure that we account for. The first of which is asking the question of what is the mode of inoculum movement? And in a moment, I'll briefly define what the modes of inoculum movement are in my dissertation research. The second is what is the rate of inoculum movement? And the final question, a key question in modeling inoculum dynamics, is how much inoculum is present. Now, going back to that first question, I'm going to define two modes of inoculum movement, the first of which is short-range spread, which is density-dependent. So as you've seen in some of the images that Catherine had in her presentation, in fields in El Paso, you'll see large dead spots, and that's from the proximate movement of the pathogen between hosts. And then we have long-distance transmission. So this is the movement of the pathogen, not just within the same field. It can be within the same field from one part of the field to the next, but it's also the movement of the pathogen between distant fields or between California to Texas. So this is frequency-dependent. So the more often the pathogen or the more often some sort of vector, which does not always mean an insect vector. In this situation, vector means a carrier. So wind, water, seeds, they can all carry the pathogen to a new area. The more often a vector visits a specific field, the more likely that field is to begin to contain the disease eventually. So there's an interplay with the modes of movement because neither happens in a vacuum. One of the proposed ways that FOV is moving between fields is by the movement of soil or water or various things like that. So we have our short-range spread within fields and our long-distance spread that could be potentially by tractors going between fields that have not been cleaned or sterilized, going from infested fields to non-infested fields. So, again, looking at that interplay of the modes of movement, I want to make sure that everybody understands that disease manifestation is dynamic. It can happen in various places, and the transport of inoculum can create new disease foci. And these two things come hand in hand because within the same field, you can have multiple disease foci that may spread over time. However, those disease foci won't be consistent throughout the field or between fields. Additionally, inoculum density is not consistent, nor is inoculum consistently transported. And that's like a big part of my dissertation research, because when looking at modeling the dynamics of this pathogen, we need to understand how it's moving through the field. But if it's not consistent, we need to have a way to actually look at that and quantify the inoculum throughout the field. Understanding this helps us, is necessary for the development of models. So what I'm going to do now is briefly go over a conceptual model that we have that's driving us currently with how we are going to determine or how we are going to eventually model the movement of this pathogen. And with this, we have to not understand, we have to look and determine what the best or the most important variables are in order to create this model. So this is a schematic here that I made. It's just a fun schematic just to think things through. So in field one, we have, as you may be able to see here in the yellow, the multiple disease foci. And in field two, we're going to say it's a completely clean field that nothing, you know, that Fusarium mold has never been in before. And we know that there are going to be multiple routes through which the pathogen can move to another field. So it can be via the tractor soil movement. It could be through irrigation water because there's not really a way to clean the irrigation water between fields. Or it could be through seeds being planted in that field. But what we have to do is we have to think about what I'm doing here is thinking about it in a source sink manner. So we have our source, we have the field that has all, we have the fields that have all the inoculum in them. And we just have to, we have to think about where it's coming from, because we can have non-sources, and those non-sources, you know, they may be infested with the pathogen, but they're not going to be a source for our sink fields if there is no connection between those fields, such as irrigation water or tractors carrying soil. So in modeling inoculum dynamics, we have to ask the question of what drives long-range transmission and what matters, which matter for the movement of the of pathogen. Is it irrigation water? Is it equipment? Is it soil? We also have to ask how much inoculum is needed to establish an infection in a field, and specifically, where is the inoculum coming from and how much is there? And these are questions that I plan to answer in my dissertation research. And the final question here is, what are the rates of short distance spread and long range transmission? Is inoculum density a function of both of the rates of is a function of rates of both of these, or is it one, or it's probably both? But we're looking at asking these questions in order to develop these models. And the final question here in my talk is how much inoculum is present. And I'd like to spend a little bit more time on this because this is a big question here. Is inoculum density consistent? And from what can be seen in the field so far, we know that just by looking at stand loss, we can say that it's not consistent throughout a field. And so what I've been doing is I've been developing an assay to try to quantify genomic DNA of FOV, and not just FOV4, but also FOV1, so that we can try to differentiate those if they are both present in the same field. And some of the measures that were taken to optimize this process include looking at different extraction methods, like using kits, various kits to understand which ones work best for looking at these, looking for FOV4 and FOV1 in samples. Also, accounting for PCR inhibitors in soil, and this is specifically important because I am using qPCR to quantify these, to quantify FOV in the soil. And one of the early things that I came upon was a lot of PCR inhibition because of humic acids or other PCR inhibitors in the soil. And finally, looking at differentiation with quantifying FOV1 compared to FOV4. And the basic pipeline for this research has been collection of soils, processing of samples, qPCR, and then statistical analyses on the data that we have so far. So one of the experiments I did with this was augmenting soil samples. So soil samples that I took from El Paso, sterilized the soils, and then I took weighed out quantities of mycelia just for a quick and easily repeatable manner to which I can see how well we can recover these quantities using qPCR. And the numbers here on the graph correspond to the amount of mycelia that I added in. So we can see that there is a range, and we can detect it from these soils. I've also done this in non-sterilized soils to see how well I can recover the same amounts. And what I want to focus on here is that most likely with this, with looking for FOV in soil, we're going to be more towards the 0.01 grams of mycelia or genomic DNA in the soil. So we did additional environmental quantification, and soil samples were processed qPCR was done again. But with just soil samples out from the field, it's very, very late cycles. So we end up losing linearity. And by here, what I mean by this is we hit our limit of quantitation. And the big question becomes, like, how can we get greater sensitivity with this method? Like, what can be done in order to actually quantify these samples that are, quantify FOVs that are in the soil at very, very, very low quantities? And what we're using is droplet digital PCR. And this is the next step in my research in order to actually better quantify these. And droplet digital PCR is a method in which you have a 20 microliter sample. It's prepared in a similar method that you would for qPCR. But instead of it being water-based, it's oil-based. So each of those, so in that 20 microliter sample, the oil makes it into 20,000 one nanoliter droplets. And the reaction, the PCR reaction is performed on each of those droplets. So we can look at the fluorescence in those partitioned samples to determine presence or absence, as shown here on this graph. And we have, basically what happens, we have fluorescence and no fluorescence. Then we have a negative control over there just to show what it looks like when there is actually a difference. And this is where my research is currently, and I'm going to continue working on this. However, before I can say that this assay is an assay, I'll have to collect more data. I'll have to get more soil samples and actually try to expand the research that I'm doing, because now that we have somewhat reliable results from what I've already done, I need to, you know, progress that into seeing what more we can do with this method. And with that, I'd like to thank my lab collaborators, but also I would like to thank like some people who helped me get isolates, like Dr. Terry Wheeler and Dr. Isaki, and my committee and funding sources, the Texas Alliance for the Graduate Education, Texas AGAP, and Cotton Incorporated. Thank you.